ছোটো ছোটো ঢেউ তুলি ফানি, ছোটো ছোটো ঢেউ তুলি লুসাই ফাহারো, তোলামি আরে যারে গই অরণ ভুলি, লুসাই ফাহারো তোলামি আরে যারে গই অরণ।
And there flows the mighty Kornopuli River. There she is, originating from the Lushai Hills of Mizoram, India, and flowing into the Chittagong Hill Tracts of Bangladesh into Bay of Bengal. That's what this folk song, Lushai Pahar, beautifully narrates. And I'm absolutely thrilled to start today's episode on the note of this enchanting folk melody. The song is written in the Chatgaya dialect of Bengali language that is spoken in Chittagong, Bangladesh. My friend Kotha humbly obliged to lend her captivating voice to this song. Kotha, what a beautiful name. Kotha means spoken words in Bengali language. And how beautifully she did justice to these earthy and pure words of the song. Hello, 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 hello. This is Shilpa and welcome back to my folktale storytelling podcast, O Folk. I say welcome back because I couldn't do an episode for almost 6 months now. Initially, because I was traveling, I went to visit my family in India, but then I got stuck there for some unforeseen immigration-related issues. My family had to return to the US while I had to stay back, and it took almost 5 months for this issue to get resolved. It was an insanely stressful and challenging phase. I'm sure many immigrants in the US who are on visa like me can relate with this and the immigration-related nightmares people have to go through all the time. During this phase, I tried very hard to work on this episode, but just couldn't. I was so stressed all through, and then there were days when things just hit a bottleneck. No matter how hard I tried to pen down this episode, it just seemed impossible. So I had to pause and take care of everything and myself so that I could be back to doing my favorite thing, this podcast, with all of me. After so many months of unwanted pause, this episode had to be special. And indeed it is. Today's episode is not only special, but also very personal. This is about me trying to find connection, or rather, establish connection with my roots. It is about my inner self paying homage to the country from where both my parents and most of my family comes from. In this episode, we travel to Bangladesh. Before the year 1947, India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh was one big nation. And then the harrowing partition happened. A devastating result of 200 years of British colonization. History testifies that partition does not mean just drawing a geographic boundary. It actually means dividing human lives, uprooting them from their everything, their homes, their lives, their existence, their whole being. Like thousands of other families, My family, too, is a living witness to that nightmare. Following the partition, many of my family members moved to India, while some stayed back in Bangladesh. Those who moved worked very hard to rebuild their lives in India from scratch. I have only heard stories in bits and pieces about this nightmare of incidents from my family members. And every time, I have felt a deep pain in their voice and a deeper void in their eyes. As a kid, I have longed to see my ancestral home back in Bangladesh. I did visit once when I was just a year old. Obviously, I don't remember much, and that's why it has always been my earnest wish to travel there and visit my father's home, where he grew up in Chittagong, or Chattogram, as the state is officially known. My mother's family home also happens to be from Chattogram, so this place is actually where my roots lie. Language, too, played a key role in deepening my feelings over all these years. Bangla, or Bengali, is the language spoken in West Bengal, India, where I come from. It is also spoken in the entire nation of Bangladesh. And those who come from Chittagong speaks in the Chittagong dialect or Chatgaya dialect of Bengali, which I have grown up listening to at my home. My aunts, grandparents used to talk only in this dialect at home, and I actually picked up quite a bit as a kid. Well, now that skill set has got some rust on it for sure. In India, Bengali is the main language only in the states of West Bengal, parts of Assam, and Andaman and Nicobar Islands. In other states of India, people speak other languages. But for Bangladesh, Bengali is the national and official language. Bengali is their pride. It is the first language for the majority of the country. Bangladesh fought a long war and gained victory over Pakistan for Bengali language to be recognized as their official language. On February 21, 1952, students and activists in East Pakistan, which is now identified as Bangladesh, protested against the Pakistani government's intention to make Urdu the sole official language of the nation. Numerous protesters were killed as police opened fire on them during the demonstration. The demonstration and the violence that followed marked a turning point in East Pakistan's fight for independence and sparked a movement to support Bengali language and culture. In the year 2000, UNESCO declared February 21st as the International Mother Language Day. Now, 21st February is observed to encourage linguistic and cultural diversity as well as multilingualism. This day encourages the protection and preservation of all languages, particularly those that are in danger of extinction. And thanks to Bangladesh and the people of this country, Bengali is a globally popular and one of the most loved languages in the world today. For sharing the same language, both West Bengal and Bangladesh are referred as Bengals, and the people on both sides are known as Bangali or Bengali. But there's way more than just the language. Exchange of food, handloom, literature, culture, and entertainment is a commonplace between the two Bengals. In fact, Bangladesh's national anthem, Amar Shonar Bangla, and India's national anthem, Janagana Mana, were both penned by Nobel laureate Rabindranath Tagore in Bengali. Anyone who has been to West Bengal and Bangladesh will vouch for a fact that the heart of both these places beats in the same rhythm. Bangladesh, officially People's Republic of Bangladesh, is a South Asian nation situated in the Delta region formed by the Padma and Yamuna rivers. Padma is identified as Ganga when the river enters India. Bangladesh borders Myanmar to the southeast and India to the west, north, and east on land. To the south, it boasts a coastline that runs along the Bay of Bengal. The political, economic, and cultural hub of the country is the capital city of Dhaka, which also happens to be its largest city. And the second biggest city is Chattogram, which is also considered as the busiest port on Bay of Bengal. Chattogram is also colloquially known among people as Chittagong or Chatgang. So you will hear me use both Chittagong and Chattogram interchangeably throughout this episode. If you are one of those people who think better in pictures, you have seen a lot of Bangladesh in Chris Hemsworth's movie Extraction. Under British colonial rule, today's Bangladesh, along with the Indian state of West Bengal, unitedly formed the province of Bengal. With the partition of India in 1947, it first became the Pakistani province of East Bengal, later renamed as East Pakistan. At that time, it was one of the five provinces of Pakistan, but separated from the other four provinces by almost 1,100 miles of Indian territory in between. Finally, in 1971, after gaining independence from Pakistan, today's glorious nation of Bangladesh was formed. Folktales of Bangladesh, or rather I should say, folktales of Bengal as it was before the partition, has also traveled down generations through oral storytelling tradition. 3rd century onwards, several dynasties like the Mauryas, the Guptas, the Palas, Senas, all have ruled Bengal from time to time. Later, the Mughals and the Marathas have also ruled and stayed in Bengal for a long stretch of periods. They therefore imposed their lifestyles and cultural characteristics on the native population. Following that, sailors and traders from Portugal, France, and finally England moored in Bengal's harbors and eventually started colonizing. They left behind their cultural elements and customs, besides their other footprints like architecture and, of course, infrastructure. And the concoction of so many extremely diverse cultures together constitute the foundation of the folk stories of Bengal. This is one of the key reasons folktales from Bengal reflect the universality of human experiences. And that's why a lot of similarity can be found between Aesop's fables and that of Panchatantra, which is the Indian collection of animal fables. Travelers would hear stories during their journeys and would take them back home to their own people. And Bengali traders would also do the same. These stories, with a little embellishment or with a mix of local details to add relatability and connect, would make a place in the folktale history of that country. Since these stories used to be told orally, They consist of many local proverbs, riddles, myths, superstitions, and rituals that were practiced. The simplicity of Bengali rural life is also reflected through many of these folk tales. Pothi are manuscripts written on pages made of leaves, leather, bamboo or barks played an important role in documenting folktales in ancient rural Bengal. This was quite common before the invention of paper. Usually, writing on pothis was done on one side and the pages were tied together with a piece of string. This made it resistant to insects, which allowed it to survive for a very long period. Pothis were traditionally written in Sanskrit and Bengali language, along with few other languages, by the Munshis. Munshis were highly respected titles given to a select group of people who had achieved mastery over languages. After the writing was over, it was time for telling the tales. In rural communities, elderly and educated people used to read out these pothis to the local people in a melodious tone to educate and entertain them. Chattogram has always been known for its uniqueness. More than 2,000 years old, this city was described by the Chinese traveler and poet Haiyan Sang way back in the 7th century AD as, and I quote, "a sleeping beauty emerging from mists and water." While much later, the Portuguese travelers had named it Porto Grande, which means a grand harbor. There was a time when Arabian explorers were common visitors on the ports of Chattogram, and as a result, we can see deep Arabian impact on many things. It is evident from the name of different places across the city. Also, the use of negative before a verb in Chadganya, the local dialect, is yet another very significant example of Arabian influence. Local legends has it that Gautam Buddha used his extraordinary abilities for disembodied travel to arrive at a vihara in the southern region of Chittagong. For those who don't know, vihara is a type of Buddhist temple which carries quarters for Buddhist monks to live and also provides space to pray and meditate. Some historians claim that during Buddha's own lifetime, Buddhism prospered in Chattogram. Legends also claim that Gautam Buddha traveled to Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, through Chattogram. Now, there is apparently no evidence for this, but legend is what fills the gap between fictions and facts, right? Chittagong's history is incomplete without the immense influence of the indigenous tribes and their culture. The hilly region of Chattogram, or the Chattogram Hill Tracts, are home to 12 significant indigenous or ethnic groups. In fact, you heard the name of one of the groups, Lushai, in the song right at the beginning of this episode. Lushai Hills are actually named on this tribe. Among all, the Chakmas and the Marmas are the two of the most significant tribal groups. Chakmas, in fact, have their own dialect of Bengali and also are very fluent in Chadganya dialect. As a kid, I remember a Chakma family lived around our neighborhood. The man of the family, I used to call him uncle, was the nicest and the sweetest person. He shared a deep friendship with my father, and they used to always talk in Chatkaya dialect. This episode brought back so many memories. Memories of my father who passed away when I was 7.5 years old. This Chakma family friend of ours. I wish they had known that I still remembered them and so fondly. Although there are many cultural and lifestyle practices that overlap between these ethnic groups, each one of them have very significant identities and specialities. These communities have their own culture, festivities, traditions, and folklores. All of these tales emerging from the different ethnic groups, along with the folk tales of the mainland Chattogram and the tales from other parts of Bengal, collectively form Chattogram's rich folktale heritage. For this episode, I wanted to pick a very special story, a story which not only is a part of Chattogram, but also represents the indigenous people living there. A story that will be a perfect medium for me to pay tribute to not just my roots in Chittagong, but also connect me to my childhood memory of knowing this sweet and beautiful Chakma family. So I have handpicked a Chakma folktale carrying the mists and mysticism of the hills of Chittagong. This is a story about how lunar eclipse was formed. Read the story online in an open source e-journal and have reproduced it in my own language. I have cited the source in the episode details area. And now, without any more delay, let's jump into the story right away. The keepers of moonlight, Chan, and keeper of sunlight, Bel, were tasked with illuminating the world by Gozen, or God. And as ordered, they kept doing this for quite some time. Then one day, something happened to Chan, the moonlight keeper, causing him to lose his massive and robust build from when Gozen had created him. He also began to experience extreme pain caused by the cyclic soreness of the eclipse. Elderly people in the Chakma community believe that this incident occurred during the lifetime of Narasingh Vaidya, a well-known and very highly respected person in the medical community of that era. Incidentally, it was around the same time Narasingh Vaidya discovered the vine that would grant immortality to humans. Overjoyed with his discovery, he screamed to everyone that from this day onwards, humans will not know death. Vaidya planted the vine in the front yard of his house where he lived with his daughter after his wife's death. To ensure that only he recognizes the vine of immortality, he planted it amidst other vines that bore a similar appearance. Meanwhile, Chan was traveling across the sky, crossing Vaidya's house at that very moment. He overheard Vaidya's claim and joyful scream. Upon hearing this, Chan got worried. He was startled and troubled by the idea of human immortality. Chan foresaw that if people don't dread dying, They won't believe in God or Gozan's powers and might just abandon their devotion to him. So Chan decided to destroy Narsingh's plan. He made the quick decision to steal the plant. Chan came down and landed gently on the yard as soon as Narsingh left his house. He tiptoed into the front yard where the vines were planted, making sure no one was observing him. Vaidya's daughter was busy with household chores and his dog was sleeping when he sneaked to steal the vine. Suddenly, it dawned on him to lift the entire garden with its base in the front of the house and hide it somewhere so that Narsingh would never be able to locate it again. As planned, Chan flew the entire garden away to heaven. When Vaidya came home, he was shocked to see that the garden has disappeared. He whistled for his dog, called out to his daughter, but none of them answered. He quietly sat down to meditate in order to get a vision and understand what has actually happened there. In his vision, he saw that Chan is the one who has done all of this. Narsingh Vaidya was so angry that he spelled a curse on Chan. And as per Chakma community's belief, this is the reason why Chan or the moon is considered a less brighter source of light compared to Bell or Sun. Vaidya's daughter came to know of this incident. She was furious and arrived at the god's garden to confront Chan. She was enraged and started to yell. She shouted and ordered her dog to go and attack Chan. When Chan saw the dog howling and barking wildly, he got extremely afraid. He started to run for his life, but the dog followed him with no intention of giving up and finally bit him real hard and deep into his flesh. Slowly and gradually, the dog's poison started mixing up with Chan's blood, turning his complexion into pitch dark. And as per Chakma believes, that's what caused the lunar eclipse for the very first time. Stories like these are mirrors to the generation-old beliefs that communities hold on to. They can be bizarre, but definitely not boring. There is no dearth of such fascinating tales in Bangladesh. I feel happy to be back with an episode like this, through which I could pay tribute in my tiny little way to my roots and bring to you such a fascinating and rare folktale. Thank you for being my co-traveler in this journey of soul searching. I am grateful to everyone who have asked me about my podcast in these past months. Thanks is a very small word for the amount of love I receive from you every day for this podcast. Keep loving, keep listening to O Folk. You can listen to O Folk on any of your preferred pod platform. It's on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on almost all the popular podcast platforms. And please, please do share this podcast with everyone around you. If you want to connect with me or share a story, feel free to do so through social media. O Folk is on Facebook or Meta, Instagram, and of course, Twitter or X. In the next episode, I will be back with another lesser-known folktale from some other part of Asia. Until then, stay happy, healthy, and keep smiling.
জেদিন খানে দুল হারাই রহে দিন তুন নাম হর নহলি লুসাই ফাহারো তুলামি আরে সারে গোই কর্ণ ফুলি সুটো সুডো ঢেউ তুলি ফানি সুটো সুডো ঢেউ তুলি লুসাই ফাহারো তুলামি আরে সারে গোই কর্ণ ফুলি।